Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to take a well-advanced journey into the spiritual path, the open consciousness, the awakened path, and where are we truly going? How far have we come? What's still out there for us? And what is this human existence all about? We've spoken about spirit, about soul, vibration, energy, vital force. We know all these words because we've mentioned them so many times over the last 10 years. And now we're starting to put the words together. How does one word follow another and become a sentence? I always liken it back to the 1950s when I was in English class and we had to diagram sentences. Does anyone remember that these days? But what it did is all of the little dangling things down on the bottom, we can exit those off and say we no longer need labels, justifiers. We no longer need things that create more drama or more scope. We're kind of refining our existence. What is it about? Can we do with less in our thoughts, in our body, our mind, and our environment? Whoa, what about that? All of the ideas of collecting stuff, being more, having more identity. What happens to the dark night of the soul? Pa-poof, there goes your identity. What do you create now? Who are you? What is your soul? What is your spirit all about? Today my guest is Robert Lomax. His book is Consciousness and the Alien Mind, A Spiritual Journey to Other Dimensions. Robert, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Hello, everyone. But most of all, thank you, Dr. Jeanette, for inviting me. I'm very pleased to be here talking with you.
Oh, it's such a great time to have you here, Robert, in the year 2020, when I don't think we could have had this conversation that we'll be having today, even just 5 years ago, don't you think?
Absolutely. Consciousness has moved on, and people's awareness or the acceptance that there's more has moved on with it.
Absolutely, because, hey, we would have been locked up 10 years ago even. You know, it's like, what are you talking about? Are you talking about aliens? Are you talking about spirit? What is the soul? Do you mean I don't have to follow that human path? I think when we start shedding all of these words and seeing that there's so much more to us, wow, it's so freeing that we don't want to go back to that old way, do we?
I don't think so. It's really how we define the soul. I suppose in the past, religion has defined it for us. The fact that we understand the soul is now multidimensional. We're having different experiences in the same moment in different places. These are quite hard concepts, and to talk with people stuck in 3D, they're going to think we're bonkers, particularly if we talk about our connections to a wider soul, which includes aliens and their spirituality as well.
Yeah. You know, even the idea of where do we go after we pass on, you know, we do transition or transform. I always say, no, it's called transfigure. We're into another space. We transfigure. We no longer transform. Transform seems such a linear thing, you know, still making something out of the same type of, you know, components. When transfigure is you're transfiguring up, it's a vertical ascension. Isn't that more what we're looking at these days?
I think so. It's perhaps losing our definition of who we are. I mean, if we're transforming, we're transforming from one thing to something else. But if we're actually just accepting the idea that we are an experience, who are we really?
Mm-hmm.
So this experience kind of dictates that this is who we are, but it's just an experience. We're something much grander than this mere experience.
Robert, can you share about your book? Right at the get-go, the very first page, you talk about the Andromedan Perspective by Antimedy. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, perhaps I'll start off with how it came about. I have had guide contact for many years, and like most people who have guide contact, the conversations can be quite lively. At the beginning, it was mostly challenging my ideas of duality and my concepts, and quite often the question would come back, why have you asked that question? What we are more interested in is the reason why you've asked that question, rather than what you want to know. So for many years I had this inner awakening, all these conversations, and gradually, as I got to know Antimedy, he divulged that he was Andromedan. So it was an acceptance in that way. On one particular occasion, he said, I've got someone here to meet you. And I was aware of this lady on a biosphere. And she was a tourist. And I thought, well, why can't you have tourist aliens? I had the music on in the background. And we talked about it. And she said, what strikes me is your music is so different from ours. You seem to have this ability to talk about sadness, and you escape from sadness. It's like you gain pleasure by removing yourself from sadness. Whereas we don't escape pain to have pleasure. We live in it all of the time. And so she played me some of her music, and I couldn't hear it. It was vibrationally so different.
Right.
So my contact with them came about quite gradually.
You know what I think is interesting? Even, you know, on the chapter one, right on the top of the page I wrote, they communicate with us per our understanding. In other words, if someone or something or energy force or any guide or people who speak to and share and communicate with God or whatever or whoever the beings are, the answer is that they have to take what they have and put it into a context that we can understand. So in essence, they are taking what they have. We say we want to understand them, but in essence what we're truly saying is we want to understand them, but we want them to put it in our context. So in essence, it's not really communication. What it is we're still expecting a justification of why we are in this existence, instead of listening to the higher vibration and trying to be able to ascend. You know, why do we want to consistently take their messages and bring them down and justify them, rationalize them, validate them within the human paradigm we're stuck in? It doesn't make much sense, does it?
Dr. Jeanette, you couldn't have said it better than I. That's obviously why you're an author as well. As you say, we have this perception of other people, and we are perceiving them through our own database, our own knowledge.
Right.
So can we really see them in who they are? And that's one of the things that they're saying to us as well. If we move our perspective, if we don't ask questions, if we listen, if we don't try and judge things through what we know, then we can receive something very different. Because whatever we ask a question about, we are preforming the answer, because it's a question relative to our existing knowledge.
Those it's sort of like when you say about the sky, and you know, and people would say the sky is out there, and I'll say, it doesn't make much sense to me, and they'll say, but the sky is the limit. Don't people always say that? The sky is the limit. So does that mean that's the end of it? Isn't there a cosmos? Isn't there a universe? Isn't there a sun? Isn't there something more? But the sky is the limit. It's all they can perceive of. But they can't go beyond that because it isn't in their context. We think of quantum physics all the time. It's your perception. You know, whatever you can perceive is only within your perception, and it is limited.
Yeah. I mean, Antimony, during this book, he actually gives us a little bit of a funny movement, a moment where he proves that movement is actually an illusion. And we talk about, he talks about proof and the way that we want to see proof. And he shows us that proof is quite elusive. And a lot of the time it's down to our perception of what we see or the way in which we see it. And that's just what you've said. The way that we interpret the world is what constrains it to the way that it is.
It's seen through our own eyes. You know, I had a guest on the show the other day, Robert, and he lives in San Francisco, right? And we all know San Francisco has a terrible homeless problem now. They're saying there's a lot of people in the streets, there's a lot of drugs, there's a lot of this, that, and the other, and it's kind of, they say, destroyed the city. Yet San Francisco in the U.S. is probably the most expensive city to live in. So obviously, they're the most affluent people. So I said, well, you know what? Did you not think about the concept that perhaps the reason that that's happening is because God's showing you that this is a project of mercy? Have you not figured that out yet? You're like, no. We want it this way. They don't belong here. And that's really showing that you have a profound capacity for duality. Instead of saying, I have a project of mercy, and how can I find myself in each one? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In other words, how can we find the soul energy within each and every one, and how to figure this out? People with have the most money can figure out how to house people. They can figure out how to feed people. They can figure out how to get rid of the drugs that don't belong here, you know? But yet, it's still the finger pointing of duality. But yet, when you think of it as a project of mercy, all of a sudden it just goes, ooh. I mean, you almost feel like, you get a sense in your physical body, if you say project of mercy, you can feel something shift. And it's whether you choose to do that or not and go back to the old way. And many are choosing to go back the old way because they can't see a foresight, yes?
Absolutely. And again, it's the perspective from where we're looking. I mean, one of the ways that they think is they think in a different way so that they think that the answer has already been created and that they already live and know the answer. So in the moment of now, they kind of look from a forward position, looking back over what would get them to where they will be, whereas we're looking forward towards the future. We're actually looking from the past towards the future and superimposing the past on the future. Whereas their perspective is the other way around. They assume they're in the best possible position and look backwards, and that's how they live.
Right. But in essence, now let's take that a step further, Robert. So in essence, if we're multidimensional already, we're already living in all of these existences, we've already been created and have done everything, and all we're doing right now in this human 3D, 4D, whatever you want to call it, moment in this time where you and I are connecting, is it in essence, yes, it has already been done, and all we need to do is choose the playbook and play it out. In other words, bring it in to this existence. So are we not taking things from the future existence and bringing it into the present existence, but it doesn't seem to jive yet because its vibration isn't correct? So while we may think we have the way to solve these issues, we may think we have ways to change the world, it quite hasn't vibrated yet to provide the energy to be able to bring it into fruition.
Yes, I think time and the moment of now and how everything has been done and what our experience is a very complicated issue. It's quite difficult to grasp, particularly to grasp it from our third dimensional density.
Right.
It seems, how can we, with a linear mind, see how a fluid universe works?
Mm-hmm.
One of the ways that one of them, Olaka, explained it to me, was the fact that all of these vibrations were pulses, and we had our consciousness in all of these pulses, which are pulsing on and off. And it's the way in which the programs string the awareness together to give a linear experience. So it's all down to a program. They call it Akarna programs. And this is probably where they dispel the God concept and put these self-aware entity programs in instead. So, yeah, at the moment of now, it is a strange concept.
I wrote on your page, it says the way you think in duality. And I wrote concept of words in the first place. I think that when we understand that the words are in the dimension we're in, but if we can just start to resonate with the feelings, in other words, let's say I say again the project of mercy, and you have a feeling inside of yourself, something shifts. That's where you go. Is my heart opening? Am I understanding there's something different? Do I feel a sense in my thoughts where that train of pointing the finger has stopped? Do I put my hands out and maybe pray to God? Do I look up at the sun and know there's a power greater than all? When we can start to be able to have those extensions of our dimension that we are in, I think that's when the concept of words in the first place will start to diminish, and you'll see people start to doing and being and existing and radiating change versus having to say, give me a business plan, turn around, write it down. It's a medical theory. We have to validate it. It's evidence-based medicine. You know what I mean? That kind of stuff. And that will slowly diminish because then we'll be in the creative source versus being in the duality source, which says what we're doing today is based upon history, past memory, past blah, 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 right? What are your thoughts on that?
The intricate nature of what we're doing can be so simple.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be difficult. And with the right energy going forward and in front of you, what you're creating, what's happening, is happening because of that energy, that feeling, that simplicity.
Right. Do you think that in this practice phase that we're at now, we can start bouncing around and feeling and sensing energy? I know for myself, people will say, like I got in my car like the other day, and I says, oh my gosh, and I named my car Savannah, because that's what she told me her name was, and I got in and I said, oh, Savannah, you're getting so old, you're starting to break down, and I could feel the sense of breaking down within the car. Or we could say that we've sensed angels in the past, we have sensed dark figures in the past. We can say that we have sensed a knowing of a room that we would walk into. Maybe there was someone or something in there and there really wasn't. Do you think as we start opening up to this, it starts to, as they said, you know, breaks down the veil and it starts to allude us to there's something more than just get up, go to work, you know, punch your clock and create your obituary, right?
I think so. I think a lot of people are waking up. The energies of the collective consciousness are changing because of the space that we're going through and the transformation of our world to a fifth dimensional world. So, yeah, I think there are lots of changes, but it's interesting how we also get people with mental health issues or people
right.
who get so far with their life and all of a sudden they hit a brick wall. They can't go any further. They can't continue to do what they did before because it doesn't work anymore. It's not them.
Right.
So I've seen it where people have gradual awakening, and I've seen it where someone's had an epiphany and it shakes their world, and they realize that they're a different person. So,
and both are necessary in the world because we don't want to be followers. We want to be unique in our experience. In other words, we don't say, oh, well, that's what, you know, a mental health crisis looks like. And when someone else comes up, we say, you have to fit in here. you know, and this is how we're going to, quote, treat you or fix you because you don't belong. And, you know, it's interesting when we talk about mental health, because if we said that our heart health or our brain health or, you know, our kidney health or whatever, it's a different story, you know. But anytime we use the concept of our brain or our mental health, people will weary and they'll say, eh, but that's who you are. Ooh, but that's, you know, ooh, are you like getting all mixed up? And it's sort of like a robot. It's like your program is getting distorted and we have to fix it so you can conform. Do you think the idea of conformity has really been an issue?
Well, the reason for conformity is for society to exist for the benefit of the elite to... so that we should conform. I mean, it's a program. It's a program that can be changed. It's a program in our collective consciousness. And conforming can change.
But what about the idea is if we conform, it's what allows the humanity to survive. In other words, if we conform, then we're able to, you know, we will be able, you know, there'll be survival. You'll understand, you know, there'll be continued existence. So is it a fear?
They're all fear-based, aren't they? Yeah. Whereas
right.
If we go forward with love, if we allow ourselves to see what the future holds by putting ourselves in the position of the future and looking back as to how we can get to that position, I think... yeah, there will be great changes. We won't have to conform, you know, when we love
it's someone. Almost, you know, you have a page in your book, The Moment of Now Diagram, you know, and I thought it was really interesting because truly that's where we're at the point of right now, is because I've spoken a lot of times. If you look at an elder person, they've got a big pocketbook, you know. So it's like, what the heck you got in there? It's, I need this. This prevents that. This saves me for this. I can fix that. It's all this memory junk, you know. It's all this fears and all of these things that construct yourself, and you carry it with you. But then when if you look at the spirit and soul, it's sort of like I've detoxed my body. I'm become more free. I'm becoming more open. You don't carry around that bag with you anymore. So the idea is that I think we're trying to get to the point where the identity of all of our past history, our dogma, is starting to lessen, and now we're starting to shed some things. So maybe eventually we will be able to say, we don't have to conform to be humans so humans can still exist, because we know that we're more than the human, right?
Yeah, and that's about definition. You know, when we define something, we can actually restrict it to that definition. Whereas if we say that we are undefinable because we're part of the isness, that's who we are. We can't be defined.
Can we talk for a second? You talked about, you said those negative energies, and then you talked about separate entity, you know, or the shadow self. A lot of times people say, oh, you have got to get rid of the shadow self. You've got to be in the light. I have a lot of people that will say, I stand in the light. I do not engage with the darkness. I see it over there. I'm not interested in anyone that's dark or anyone that's lower level. No, 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 no. I'm in the higher. And I'm thinking, in essence, are you not creating your own duality and fragmenting yourself? And when you fragment yourself and say that you're only the light, you are now denying your progress.
You're
that's a big statement.
Absolutely right. It's like some of the lessons people are given to put protection around themselves when they're doing something. My people have said to me constantly, why do you need to protect yourself? There is nothing to protect yourself from. We're not going to bring in some negative entity that's going to cause a problem for you. So I think people can deny the negative side. Not understand that negative thoughts affect their body, affect the way that the energy of that body works and create disease. I mean, Louise Hay was one of the first out with a book. I believe at the time it's called Your Body Can Talk. Very revolutionary. But this negative energy or these thoughts that we have are contained within our energy field, which affects every single part of our body. So if we notice a pain, it's actually probably a good reason to put a meditational focus into that pain and find out what it's all about.
Right. And it's also true that some things just exist, just as on the earth. Okay, the earth has a lot of toxic stuff on it. The earth has holes. The earth has cracks. The earth creates its own wind and its own storms. In other words, everything has a cycle. Everything has a place. We don't live in, as we would say, underneath the bell curve. Their outliers are essential. And I've always seen that when people talk about, you know, light and dark and, you know, the good and the bad and duality and all that other stuff. And I said, in essence, are you trying to, they're saying, but we want balance. We want to be under that bell curve in the median or the mode or whatever it is called. And I'll say, in essence, I see it as you take away the bell curve. And if you've ever seen a music strip, you know, on a graph, it goes up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down. And that's what I see more of as life now, versus this bell curve thing, and there's you over there, the outliers, and it's the we over here underneath this curve. I just see it going up and down and up and down, and that's really what force is, that's vibration, that's being in the moment, that's understanding that all exists within all at once, and having a more encompassing kind of thought. Don't you think that perhaps if we shifted from a bell curve and we went to a musical up and down graph, maybe we would learn something differently?
Yeah, but the way in which you're describing it, it's like accepting what comes along in every moment. Even the negative experience is going to give us something that we hadn't thought of. Depends how much we fear it or how much energy we put into it.
But if we took off the label that it was negative because we said we're not doing labels anymore, right? How would we know if it was good or bad? We would just experience it.
Yes, yeah. And what is good or bad?
Right.
Our definition.
But why are we still judging it?
Yeah. Does it mean that? You know, I probably would use the words constructive or unconstructive. But even that's a description.
For me, it's just like, cool experience. Like when people say, oh, gosh, you know, all of a sudden I have a terrible disease. I have cancer, you know, can you help me? And I'm like, fantastic. You've been seeking something for the past 15 years that something was, quote, wrong. Now you have a label. Now what do you want to do?
Yeah.
And they're like, huh? And the point is whatever it is, it isn't, it's just an experience. It's just that. And I think when we start to go good or bad or light or dark, it's when the emotions come up and we don't like the emotions. We don't want to feel that. So in essence, are we creating the duality in our words so we can fear the emotions that we don't want to have? Because then that labels us further.
I think the duality is there in our subconscious. And then our subconscious can then create these words as you describe them. But the subconscious is just a program that's running. We are the programmer and the program. And we can reprogram that subconscious program, pull apart duality and create a different subconscious for ourselves,
right.
A set run program. And I think most people are unaware that how they act and how they think is this program that's on a run repeat. And they don't feel as though that they have the power to change it, or they fear or face those fears of changing some of those programs, letting go of ideas of who they are. And as you said, experience, that we are just an experience. That's actually quite challenging because it takes away our humanity and it takes away our idea of self. And the self is much, much bigger than we are.
So let's go there for a second, Robert. Self is the identity of the human existence. Soul is the energy and the life force of the cosmos. That's two different things.
Absolutely.
So are we creating self because we have to have an identity and we believe we're holding ourselves out, when in essence we're truly finding our uniqueness within our... People are saying, well, I have my soul, and my soul and myself is the same thing, and the spirit, and they get lost in these words. When in essence, when you say self-care or self or self-whatever, that's a very divisionary line. Self makes you like ball up and put more stuff on you. One time someone said to me, well, who really are you? And I said, oh, I'm so tired of this human existence. I see me as I have this big zipper goes down the front of me, right? And I unzip it, and inside is this big sparkling ball of glitter. That's who I am, the biggest sparkling ball of glitter. All of this other stuff is just stuff, you know? And they go, huh? And I said, yeah, it's all just stuff. But the minute you're able to conceive of something similar to that, you can feel almost a weight go off your back. Because you could say, whatever was put upon me, it's not me. And it's not anything. And you can be free. Do you think that perhaps that dance, or maybe even listening to what you and I are sharing today, is about how we're sharing how to dance with something differently and see if anything shakes off of you, right?
I think so. I think it's being aware of the feelings that you have in every moment, perhaps observing them and monitoring them, but doing so in a gentleness without judging, uh-huh. Seeing it as an experience. What has this brought to me today?
Right.
What is it showing me? It's not about, well, how good am I or how bad am I by this experience.
Right.
It's showing us something. We're the ones that put judgment on things about our performance.
And as soon as you say, what is it showing you, say, unzip yourself. What's inside? unzip it, let it go. But also, too, I think the idea is that where we are going is that once we step into this awareness, the past does no longer exist. I know someone had said to me something one day, and I went, huh? I don't even know what you're talking about. And they're like, wait. And I says, don't bring me into your reality, because it no longer exists for me. And I think when we get to that point, we can say, wow, oh, okay. You know, you almost feel as if you can start to breathe again. And wow, you know, your awareness really shoots up from there. Because you can then see how things are evolving and transfiguring along the world. And I think that's where potentially humanity will be going, is that all of this stuff from the past and this dogma will go and fall down and no longer exist. You know, the idea, if we see so many people with dementia and Alzheimer's these days, what is that really about? I see it myself as an observation that the energy forms or God or whatever is in control of this cosmos is saying, we're giving you a glimpse of what it is to let go of the past memories. And humans are saying, oh, no, that's not good. We have to lock these people up. We have to protect them. We have to da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And we kind of haven't gotten the message yet, you know? So I think the idea is this will continue until we get to the message that we can evolve past our memories and our history that we believe. And potentially this is like a real esoteric concept. I get it. It's real philosophical. It's really way existential and way out there. However, it just appears that way. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yes. Again, it's about the fear of loss of self and loss of identity,
mm-hmm.
or who we
right.
decide we are, rather than seeing it as an experience. I think seeing things as an experience gives us a freedom. We don't have to conform. I mean, this word you used earlier, we can just be. But not conforming doesn't mean that food is not going to be put on the table, or we're not all going to
mm-hmm.
do things out of love for one another. Society will move forward, but in a better way.
Right.
I'm sure you've probably talked with other people who've talked in depth about the shift that's due to happen.
Right.
Again, this is part of the build-up for that.
Yeah.
Most people are wanting the shift to happen.
Yes.
But they're wanting it to happen because they want to escape from who they are. So
mm-hmm.
that's the wrong reason for wanting the shift to happen. So it's superimposing ideas and energy on this shift as to what it's going to be.
Right.
So yes, the mind is very, very powerful.
And that's what I'm showing, is the shift is already in process. It is already occurring just by myself giving you a concept of look at Alzheimer's and dementia. We're shifting into that. And we're saying as humans, no, I don't want that, da-da-da-da-da. Let's look at addiction for a second. If you look back in history, there was tons of addiction. All of a sudden, you're going, oh, my gosh, where did all these people on the street come from? They're all addicted. They're all heroin. They're all doing this and that. You walk down the street, and you're going, I have never in my life saw so many syringes on the street. And you're going, where did this come from?
Yes.
If you look at it, what that's saying is, here's what you've created, an escape mechanism. Is it working for you? And you're saying, maybe not. Or maybe those are dark nights of the soul showing up. Or maybe those are people saying, well, I need an exit door. I need to get out of this existence. Or what perhaps if it's just showing compassion and empathy for what we've created? Or maybe it's saying, wake up, the world is so much more. Can you have compassion for even the brokenhearted? Can you have, similar to the Project of Mercy in San Francisco, you've got to have compassion for the other parts of self. And these other parts of self are walking up and down the street. They're the ones you push by. They're the ones you don't give money to. They're the ones that you don't see. They're the ones that you say, oh, they'll just, die off. They'll be okay. Those are the parts of self. If we are truly all one, right, Robert?
Yeah.
And we're all one of the all one, then how are we denying that in the existence every day as humans? Who gave us that dogma? It's sort of like, wow, what sewer sump are we in? Have we not figured anything out?
I don't think it's a question of either or. I think it's all of those things that you said. Quite how it's fixed. I think it's only by changing our perspective on the self and who we are when we see that somebody else is a reflection of who we are. I know we can take karma and we can look at life experience and say, well, someone having a very difficult experience or someone creating pain or robbing someone gives the person who's robbed the experience of being robbed. Well, I don't think we can learn any more from that. Surely haven't we learned enough? And karma's not one of those things that it has to be repeated. Once we understand what it is, we can actually just step out of that loop. The way in which we treat each other, we can step out of that loop. But people are so afraid of losing money, losing their status.
Right.
They don't see the abundance that they have. And this is what you're talking about by this sparkly ball inside.
Mm-hmm.
The true abundance of us.
It's truly about vested. You're vested in it. You're vested in keeping things the same. You're vested in the experience. You are vested in the process still continuing as it should for you or whatever, And I think once we say we're no longer vested in that, it just isn't. It will start to shift. But also, too, I wanted to talk about this for a second, Robert, in closing, is that the idea of when two energies come together, it's sort of like if you have two people and one starts to yell and the other starts to yell at them, and then they're going back and forth and gets louder, more intense. People start to move away and they're just going at it. We say, keep going until you're, quote, done. And when you're done, all of a sudden they flop on the floor and then they start to laugh. It is as if the energy has dispersed. And I think that's where we are in humanity now with the Project of Mercy or the Project of Addiction, is that it will rise to a pinnacle piece, and all of a sudden we'll say, you know what? We're done. and will fall on the floor, and it will no longer exist. I mean, if you look at, I mean, my goodness, we're in the year 2020. You look back at the Cowboys and Indians, it wasn't that far back. But we would never act like the Cowboys and Indians again, would we?
No. You know? I think there comes a point when consciousness flips. And certainly with items
right.
of duality, and I'm sure you've had similar experiences where you're rumbling around two opposing ideas, and they go round and round, they get tighter and tighter. They become so inescapable, you can't divide them until all of a sudden they pop, and you just let them go because it's a paradox, and you cannot solve a paradox. You just let it be. So much of our duality, much of the way that we think, we think in paradoxical ways. You know, if we want to be helped, we want to be made to feel better, we have to be in a position where we're low in order to be feeling better. We can't have one without the other. It's like trying to grasp water from a running tap. It's impossible. So
it's that ebb and flow again. You know, if you learn to ebb and flow versus trying to collectively keep yourself, you know, as this big ball, like this koosh ball with everything stuck to it, when you ebb and flow, you have less resistance. You have more openness. You have more energy. You can feel a life force of the cosmos, don't you think?
Absolutely. You can be filled with more and more light. As we reprogram ourselves, as we look to do things differently, we become filled with more light. As our consciousness pops, you know, as you get to this crescendo, as you call it, and it just becomes unsustainable. It just doesn't compute anymore. And that program is gone. It just doesn't work anymore.
Well, Robert, I hope in the year 2020 we could pop a little more bubbles, you know, and to be on to the next frequency. I know we go in there in dream time. We go there sometimes when we say we are creating, and we go there sometimes when we say, oh, I just about had enough, and, you know, and breathe. And all you have to do is just breathe, and you can bring yourself into another space. Don't you think wouldn't it be so exciting if we can just share this message with others to be able to expand, yes?
Absolutely. It's about understanding who we are and what we are in that moment of experience. Not necessarily to detach ourselves from that, but just to be the observer and the experience, and not the determination of what that experience does to us.
Right. So interesting. Well, Robert, it was such a pleasure to have you with us here today, because I think this conversation will still enlighten and help others even years from now. And can you share with the listeners how to find out more information about your work? That would be wonderful.
Yeah, I do have a website. I've got channel drawings, paintings, lots of conversations that I've had on there. But also, I've got a free ebook, and it really is free. So all you need to do is look for Rob Lomax, that's roblomax.co.uk, and you'll find it on there. I've also got a Facebook presence. So all of these messages that have been given to me freely over many years, I don't own them. They are for other people to share as well. So that I think it should be free. So I'm happy to share it freely.
Absolutely. Well, Robert, it was such a pleasure to have you with us here today to be able to increase in that flow and get things moving. So if anyone's stuck or has any questions, please do reach out to Robert on his website and in many of his venues. And we thank you so much for joining us today.
It's been an absolute pleasure and a very interesting conversation. And it's so nice to speak to someone who's singing from the same hymn sheet, even though we might see things in a slightly different way. It's sometimes interesting seeing a concept, but it's a bit like a diamond. It's still the diamond, but we might all be looking at a slightly different facet.
Yep, because every other facet has a different color, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Robert.
Been a pleasure. Thank you again.
Again, his book is Consciousness and the Alien Mind, A Spiritual Journey to Other Dimensions. Please do click on the link on the bottom of today's show page for more information and go directly to his website and download his free ebook. It is about being able to say, what are the other words that I can start using? How can I create something different than my current reality? And how can I say that I'm going to let go of the memories, the old history, and the past that no longer serves me? It's about being able to say, can I be creative? Can I see the potential in life? And am I willing to stand up and say, bring it on? Because there's so much more to this world and this existence than what we have experienced in the past several decades, and now it's time to start shedding. As I've shared on the show, if you feel like life is just too heavy, unzip yourself. Let that human space just drop off and see that you are the light inside of your energy source. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Till tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.